This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our theme or the journey of the final surahs of the Quran, whereby specifically these surahs begin to speak about the disbelievers or speak about how these individuals begin to treat the downtrodden, weak individuals, and even more specifically, the etiquettes and the behavior towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus we find that this surah, many ulama mention, كَأَنَّ هَذِي surah خَالِصَةٌ لِلنَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if this surah is specifically, totally, uniquely for only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about Surah Al-Kawthar. Thus we find there's numerous passages or verses inside the Qur'an, or various surahs inside the Qur'an, that a person should read these surahs to see how these surahs are praising or speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And that's why this Mufassiri mentioned this surah is just like the Surah Al-Duha wa Sharh Al-Insharah, just like Surah Al-Duha wa Duha and Surah Alam Nashrah, we speak specifically about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And then there are other surahs, like Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, is as if the whole this surah is just a theme or a journey of the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Until we come down to Surah Al-Alaq, that we find is also speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So these are, or Surah Muhammad, the 47th chapter of the Quran, specifically given the title, the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should read these surahs, read these passages to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised your rank, the rank of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Likewise, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. In the beginning of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah mentioned the Prophet alayhi salatu salam is more closer to the believers مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ than their own selves. That's how much a person should show reverence, al-azama, wal-ihtiram, wal-hub, love and reverence and display should be shown to the Prophet alayhi salam far beyond even our own selves, is how the Quran is praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this surah Al-Kawthar that we find is speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because the characteristics of these individuals were speaking ill of the downtrodden, weak individuals, and then specifically about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this surah comes as a tasliyah, as a form of encouragement, a form of praise, that what these individuals are saying about you, you are far beyond this, what these individuals they attribute towards you. And this is the key message inside this surah for us to show this reverence and this love and to follow his sunnah, follow his teachings, to be given what he was given, Al-Kawthar, immense goodness that was given to him inside this dunya and inside Al-Akhirah. If you want the goodness inside this dunya, it is via Ittiba'ur Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. The goodness to be given to us in this dunya is via following his sunnah, following his teachings inside our lives. We'll be given goodness, contentment, enrichment will be given to us inside this dunya. And then we find Al-Kawthar, the greater abundance inside Al-Akhirah. That's what Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentioned this surah is about ikhlas, about sincerity. And he based it upon the end verses of Surah Al-An'am. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say indeed my prayers, my sacrifice. And that's what this surah speaks about. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Make your prayer khalisa لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Your salah, make it sincere. Total devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, your sacrifice. So he mentioned this ayah in the end of Surah An'am. It's just like this surah, that everything about our life, our prayers, our sacrifice, our living and our dying should be sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also other ulama mentioned regarding this surah, the relationship. أَرَبْ بَيْنَ هَذِي surah, surah قَبْلَهَا. The relationship between this surah and surah exists before it. This is a deep science that we should not ignore, because the previous surah speaks about those people, al-ma'un, those people who are the preventers of small kindnesses. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, the one who rejects the last day. This surah begins by speaking about those who believe in the last day. إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَا كَالْكَوْثَرِ, because al-kawthar is fil akhirah, is inside the hereafter. As this surah begins by speaking about belief in the unseen. That's why Imam Shanqiti speaks inside his tafsir that this previous surah speaks about those individuals who delay their prayers, reject their prayers, who don't offer their prayers. This surah praises, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Now you should be offering your prayers. Likewise, they offer their prayers. For what purpose? Yura'un, for people to see them. But here Allah mentions, for salli li rabbika, make ikhlas inside your salah, your devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The previous surah spoke about those individuals who prevent small kindnesses. But Allah here mentions al-kawthar, that when Allah gives you abundantly, you should share these kindnesses. Be sharing towards the society around you. So this is just a prelude to help us to understand about the greatness of this surah. Abu Bakr al-Jazari inside his tafsir, he says that the name of this surah is either al-kawthar or al-nahar. وَهَذَا إِسْتِعْمَالْ قَلِيلٍ فِي كُتُبُ التَّفَاسِيرِ. Even its usage is very rare inside books of tafsir, but the name is there, wanhar, of sacrifice. And we find the praising of this surah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the praising of this surah is praising the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. A discussion begins to take place where this surah is Meccan or Medina. Imam Shawkani inside his tafsir goes to that it's a Medinan surah. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir goes to the Medinan surah. Because certain tafsir mention certain narrations whereby these ayat were set down in Medina. But the majority of ulama go to the view is the Meccan phase. Because his son Al-Qasim passed away in Mecca. So whether it be Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab, or it be Al-Uqba, or be other individuals, or Quraysh, fi shakl am, they began to say that the Prophet ﷺ, who are abtar, butira Muhammad, that the Prophet ﷺ, he is cut off, meaning he doesn't have a nasab, he doesn't have a genealogy, he doesn't have male children. That's what they refer to inside the linguistics, in the language. A person who never had male children was a person who has no respect. Has no respect inside the society, because the nasab, it goes from father to son, the genealogy, it continues. That's how the people, you find al-fakhr bil-ansab, showing proud and arrogance, pride, via their ancestry that existed before them. So they used to say about the Prophet ﷺ, who wutira Muhammad, who are abtar, that he's cut off. There's no one that's going to live on his name. No one's going to mention his name after this. But look, we find that the Prophet ﷺ, throughout history, until يَوْمِنَ هَذَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى بَعْدَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that we find the most excessive used name will be what name? Will be Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, will be his name. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ الذِّكْرَ, we raise high your praise. As for these individuals, they've been cut off. There's no remembrance of these individuals. But the name of the Prophet, his legacy, his sunnah, his life, it continues for all of us to go back and to see his life. So this is, as ulama mentioned, sabab al-nuzul, that they began to make this slogan, these evil statements against the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And as we began with that, these etiquettes or these characteristics of the Quraysh is present amongst non-Muslims. That's what they do. They reject orphans. They show blasphemy against the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That, you know, some of us, we become so worried that today what they say, it's not something new. Read through history. يَعْرِفُونَ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ, they know him like they know their own sons. They know him. So that right from the beginning, even before we entered into Medina, the hatred that was boiling up amongst al-Yahud, that how can the Nabi al-Ummi come amongst the tribe, the lineage of Ismail, of this individual, of this prophet? He should be coming towards us. He should be given to us. We are the chosen ones. We are Sha'bullah Mukhtar. We are the chosen children of God, and we're beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this goodness should be given to us. But when the Prophet ﷺ, he came to these individuals, they knew him. يَعْرِفُونَ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, they knew him like they knew their own sons, but they refused to accept him. There's an ulama when they speak about al-kibr, al-juhud. After rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejection of the Prophet ﷺ, to reject his message, to reject his personality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strengthening the Prophet ﷺ, that we are going to give you prestige and honor and dignity inside this dunya. We're going to raise your rank inside the dunya, inside al-akhirah. So this is the psyche behind these individuals. Just like today that we find, read through Dante's Inferno. This individual who lived in a medieval time, who speaks about the journey through Jahannam. Read through what he speaks about. And where does he place, I even hate to mention such words, where does he place the Prophet alayhi salatu salam? So this hatred that they have isn't something new, that some of us, that we think is something new. The hatred existed from day one, from dot day, it existed there against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Our task is to remember him, to praise him, to live his sunnah, to be inspired inside our lives by his sunnah and his teachings, to go out to mankind and teach his teachings. Imam Suyuti inside his tafsir, when speaking about the fada'il of this surah, He says that when Umar al-Khattab, when he was stabbed, that Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, he stepped in, he began to lead the prayers. فَقَرَأَ بِسُورَةِ الْقَوْثِرِ وَالنَّصَرِ. He kept the prayer short. Complete the prayer with Surah Al-Kawthar. Al-Nasr is what Imam Suyuti mentions at Durr al-Manthur. Ulama mentioned there's three surahs inside the Quran, which contain three ayat. Surah Al-Kawthar, Al-Nasr, Wal-Asr. These are three surahs inside the Quran that contain only three ayat. And the shortest amongst them in terms of kalimat is Surah Al-Kawthar. But aside from, just read these three surahs. Read the tafsir of these three surahs. And just simply implement these three surahs in our lives. That's it. I'm not asking you to read tafsir throughout your life. Just read these three surahs and read the various tafsir and implement that inside our lives. And you'll see An-Nasr, you'll see the victory. You'll see Wal-Asr, the patience. You'll see Al-Inna A'tainaka Al-Kawthar. You'll see the end result. You'll see the patience. You see devotion. You see commitment. That's what we need to do inside our lives. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends small ayat, small kalimat, small hatta haroof. Fasalli li hatta kalima li. Ulama have a great discussion at tafsir that what does this li mean? Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Why didn't Allah just say just pray? Why didn't Allah say fasalli lillahi? Why did Allah say fasalli li rabbika? Linaha sha'nu tawheed wa rububiyyah. Because the Quraysh they magnified their idols and their statues. Fahada maqamul ubudiyyah wa rububiyyah. This is a station of remembrance of the Lord. The Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So establish your prayer in remembrance of your Lord, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the three short surahs that we should read these surahs to strengthen. Inna harfu ta'keed. Even you study the Quran, whenever Allah speaks about something grandiose, something great, when Allah speaks about the Prophet alayhi salam, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. In Surah Fatah we find, Inna fatahna. We've granted you grandeur. We've given this to you. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. We send it down the night of power, of decree. That's why inna hatta harf inna, the Quran is dynamic. It uses certain kalimat, certain words. If a person just focus on these words, they will find the miraculous nature of the Quran. Surah Al-Hijr, 15th chapter, verse number 9. Inna, what's going to happen? Nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We sent down, what are we speaking about? What's so magnificent we're speaking about? We inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra. We sent down the Quran. As Ibn Taymiyyah in his works of Muqaddama fi Usul Tafsir mentions, al-dhikr min isma' al-Quran. We sent down the Quran and we're going to preserve it. We're going to protect it. So a person should focus about when Allah mentions inna certain haroof or kalimat inside the Quran. Inna a'taynaka. Allah subhanahu never said a'taynaka. Because linguistically, grammatically, you can say a'taytuka kalaman. I gave this to you. But Allah says inna a'tayna. Wal-ata is far more grand. It's far more respectful, far more that what the prize is going to be is so great. That what are we giving you? Inna a'taynaka al-kawthar. We're giving you, Ya Rasulullah, we're giving you al-kawthar. This is what we're giving you. Ignore these individuals. This is what we're going to give you. Imam Sahib al-Bahr al-Muhit, inside his tafsir, Andalusian scholar Abu Hayyan, he writes 28 aqwal. He writes some 28 different statements of understanding. What is Al-Kawthar? And then likewise you find Imam Qurtubi. He writes some 18, 19 different aqwal about what is Al-Kawthar. Imam Shawkani inside his tafsir begins to list them. Whether it be Al-Nahr fil Jannah or Al-Hawd or Al-Nabuwa, or it be conquering this world, praise, whatever it may be, all these different aqwal, if you read them, it blows the mind away. That just over one word, how they begin to discuss. Even Ibn Kathir concludes that all of this is al-kawthar, because kawthar is from in kathra. La had lahu. That kathra is excessiveness is given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's linguistic meaning. But the real meaning is al-kawthar, is the river in paradise. We're going to give you this river inside paradise. That Ibn Kathir, the stranger inside his tafsir, that he just spends pages, some four or five pages speaking about the river in paradise. What is this river that's going to be given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? You find the water is pure, sweeter than honey. You find that the turab, the earth around this river, it smells like musk. And you find the goblets are more than the stars on the earth or stars in the sky. And the water be like ice. All these different characteristics he lists inside his tafsir of Ibn Kathir, speaking about what is Al-Kawthar. What will be given to the believing individuals. But how are the believing individuals going to gain this Kawthar? How are they going to gain it? They have to do certain actions that we've been encouraged to do to gain that reward inside Al-Akhirah. And amongst those actions is following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, especially in today's day that we find people are going to be celebrating the Mawlidun Nabi. Maybe there might be some ulama like Imam Subki, Imam Suyuti, Ibn Hajar Asqalani, Imam Nawawi have written about this inside their works. We don't deny that fact. But let us safely conclude, what does it mean? What does it mean to love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? What does it really mean? Is it just a bit of anashid or some burda, some lines of poetry, qasaid? That's all it is, just a symbolic gesture that we love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, or the hadith mentions, speak about Al-Kawthar, read the hadith, that people will come to drink from the fountain, drink from the river, because this river flows into, as Ulama mentioned, into Al-Hawd, goes into the basin, goes into the sink, goes into the main reservoir. That's what Al-Kawthar is, it flows into it. So the Prophet ﷺ is going to ask certain individuals, let them come, ummati, let them come and drink. And we said to these individuals, go away, suhkan, be off. You don't know about these people. He's asked, who are these individuals? Ulama said, either these individuals are the munafiqoon, the hypocrites, or the other belief is, and this is documented inside a hadith, people who went against الَّذِينَ أَحْدَثُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ حَيَاتِي أَوْ كَمَا قِيلَ. These are people who invented things after my life. Who is the Prophet I'm referring to? Let us remove emotional feeling. Who is he referring to? Is he referring to people who speak about the sunnah? Is he speaking about people who encourage the sunnah? Who people live for the sunnah? Who tell people to adopt the sunnah? What is the default position of Ahlul Sunnah? Is to love the sunnah, to admire the sunnah, to implement the sunnah, to call to the sunnah. So by default, who is going away from that? Let's take away emotional understanding. By default, who is traversing away from his sunnah? That people are calling against his sunnah. He's prophesizing there's going to be people. We're not here to claim that such and such ta'ifa or such and such group or such an individual, it falls upon them. That's not for us to do. What is safe, what we have to do is conclude there's going to be people who have innovations. And the Prophet, unfortunately, he will say, we're not talking about innovation, about inventing a plane or a car or modern development as some people try to make ta'wil. We're speaking about innovation fi deen. People go against his sunnah. And then they have the audacity to say that we're trying to protect him. We're trying to honor him. We're trying to respect him. Read the Quran. Surah Ma'idah, 5th chapter, verse 67. Allah mentions out there, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, balligh ma unzi ilayka min rabbik. Wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalatahu. O messenger, convey to the people. Convey to the people the message that's been given to you. If you do not do it, you have not lived true to the promise or the commandments that's been given to you. And look at a strange thing how this ayah finishes. Or before it finishes, Allah says, Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah will protect you from the people. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need this Muslim ummah. He doesn't need anyone. Because Allah says, Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah will protect you from the people. Inna Allah la yahdi al-qawm al-kafirin. Then Allah does not guide the disbelieving individuals. Let us take that linguistically. Because we're not saying these people are disbelieving individuals. Kafirin can mean those who are ungrateful. Ungrateful of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ungrateful of the blessings of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So how are we going to gain Al-Kawthar inside this dunya, inside Al-Akhirah, if we live away from his sunnah? We don't implement his sunnah. Then we find, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, fasalli, establish the prayer. Allah never said, فَصَلِّ أَوْ فَشْكُرْ لِرَبِّكَ. Allah never said, be grateful. Because as Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir mentions, the most highest form of ibadah is a salah. And his sacrifice. That's what shukr is. When people say, you know, Allah knows what's inside my heart. I give thanks to Allah. I do this element of charity. I do this good deed. طيب, كل هذا خير. All this is goodness. May Allah reward you for that. But Allah doesn't want just that. Allah wants fundamental principles. For Salli, establish the prayer, li rabbika, Muslim, by default should be praying 5 times a day. It's not a religious cleric. It's not a religious trademark. It's not certain individuals. You are part of the ummah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. For Salli, li rabbik. You have to establish the prayer. Establish that inside your life. For Salli, li rabbika, wanha. Make that sincerity. towards your Lord inside as-salah. As we find in Mu'jam al-Tabrani, أول ما يحاسب على الأب يوم القيامة as-salah. The first thing that all of us are going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment is as-salah. That's the first thing. And the Prophet alayhi salam, look at the miraculous nature of as-salah. Even Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam, he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, went on the mountain. Allah said to him, قَالَ إِنَّنِي أَنَّ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Inside Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam, وَقَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam and said to him, indeed, I am the one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish the salah for my dhikr. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where was the Prophet ﷺ given a salah? This given in Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. That's what ulama speak. All these ahadith about Al-Kawthar are all designated at the time of the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. As Ibn Kathir, he documents. Read the tafsir of Al-Isra. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Layla min al-masjid al-harami al-masjid al-aqsa. This was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The final two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Kawthar, and likewise As-Salah. As-Salah was given in paradise. It's not a commandment on this dunya. It's inside Al-Jannah commandment is given. And then you find that niqash, that discussion of the Prophet alayhi salam coming down and Musa alayhi salam arguing with the Prophet alayhi salam that your ummah is not going to be able to do this. Because he understands and he knows the psyche of human beings. Because even the Day of Judgment that you find when the Prophet ﷺ, he sees a huge gathering, he's going to be so overwhelmed. He's going to say, that's my ummah. If he said, no, that's not your ummah. That's the ummah of Musa alayhi salam. He's going to see a far greater gathering than that. And that's going to be the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. How is he going to recognize them? Via the white marks. Like the white patches on a black ox. Or black patches on a white ox. Meaning that these Athar al-wudu, he's going to recognize us via the remnants of wudu. How you perform wudu, your bodily parts will shine. Your face will shine, your hands will shine, your shins will shine, your ankles will shine. As Abu Huraira used to wash all the way up to here. He used to wash up to his shin. He said, I want to be even more radiant. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا فِعْلُ Abu Huraira رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ. This was his action, that's what his belief was. I want to shine even more and to be recognized on the Day of Judgment. So even this simplistic action of doing wudu, person should perfect it, should follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm imitating the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is what made the companions so great. That's what made them so special, that their love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is their imitation. That's what made them special. You can read 1,000 raka'at in one night today. It doesn't mean that you could give a mountain range of Uhud. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we used to give the gold of the Mount Uhud, and Uhud isn't one mountain, it's a range of mountains. You used to give gold in charity, it would not even equal one mud or half a mud, half a handful of charity that one of my servants gave. You give that in gold, the weight of the range of Mount Uhud is not equivalent to half a handful of what my Sahaba they give. Because why? مَا وَقَرَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ تَعْظِيمُ الرَّسُولِ, the love they had for the Prophet alayhi salam. Read Fada'il al-Sahaba inside Bukhari, inside Muslim, about the love that they had, that they showed and displayed towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why Allah mentioned, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Make ittiba' al-rasul. And Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Inside Surah Al-Imran, verse 31 or so. So if you claim to love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what should we do inside our lives? Follow his sunnah. Follow his teachings. Spread his teachings. Don't wash down his teachings. Don't give a modernistic interpretation. Person is weak in iman. Just say, I'm weak in iman. There's no argument. We're kulluna bashar. We're all human beings. There's many things in the sunnah. Just because we display ourselves with the sunnah, people might think this is personal sunnah. What about the internal sunnah that many ulama speak about? Imam Suyuti and Fudayl ibn Ayyad, inside his works, magnanimous work, speaking about love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Where's the internal sunnah of al-ghadab wal-hub, of love, of aspiration, of hope, of fear, of worry, of forgiving, of overlooking, of empathy? Where is that sunnah? Because this is what we don't have this sunnah in our lives, unfortunately. We have this external demeanor that we display inside society. This is a person of sunnah. Yes, this is some element of the sunnah. The Prophet was far beyond that. He was far beyond that. That's the sunnah we need to develop inside our life, to see his life, see his seerah. That why did Allah subhanahu give him this? Even wanhar, that the sacrifice that he done. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen inside his tafsir, he mentions that the Prophet, what did he do inside his life? He offered 100 camels in sacrifice, 63 of them. And what a strange coincidence was the age of the Prophet. 63, he sacrificed them with his own hand. And the rest of them, he asked Ali ibn Abi Talib to sacrifice them. Some 37 or so. And most of this, al-Nahar, he gave it away in charity, gave it in sadaqah, gave it away to the people. The Prophet, he slept. And he really had food in his home. Really had food inside his home. Imagine, this is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar al-Khattab walks in one day and sees the reed mat, the effects of reed mat on his feet, on his body. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? Look at Kisra, look at Qaisar. Kisra and Qaisar and Najashi, look at his leaders. The Romans, the Persians. Look at their empire, look at their entourage, look at their people. Look how they live their lives. And look at you. Look at you, Ya Rasulullah, lying on the floor like in this manner. With his marks on your blessed body. What did he say to him? He rebuked him. This world isn't for us. This isn't for us. This is for them. Walana al-akhirah. We're going to have the hereafter. That's what we Muslims need to understand. Strive for al-akhirah. And you know what will happen? We're going to give you the dunya. We'll give you the dunya. You strive for the dunya. Khasira dunya wal-akhirah. You lose this dunya. And you lose al-akhirah as well. And you're trying to gain this dunya. As we mentioned, these people, they know who the Prophet is. That's why they leave us. We don't have a deep understanding of world politics understanding. They leave us to squabble amongst ourselves, to argue amongst ourselves. And we don't uplift his sunnah. We don't uplift his life. As we argue amongst ourselves whether this is rightfully a sunnah or not a sunnah, whether this person is following the sunnah or not following the sunnah. Look at the greater image of how that is displayed among societies around us. That look at these people. Look at it, their hatred towards people and how they conduct themselves. So what's the benefit of us coming towards the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? And even the laymen amongst our Muslims today, massive Muslims, they're lost. Some of them, they don't even pray. Even they prayed and they were maybe showing off in Surah Al-Ma'un or praying to show people. But we've gone beyond that. We've got Muslims who don't pray. Family members in a home that don't pray. And what are we doing in our society? When the crux of the issue is for salli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Those people are going to be cut off. Those who go away from his sunnah. Those who speak against his sunnah. Those who live away from his sunnah. Those who ill-treat and speak against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We find those individuals who speak against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and those who make these rudimentary remarks against him, and even among, unfortunately, some of us Muslims who fail to understand the sunnah. And the rank of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Many times we've mentioned, just to remind ourselves, that if a person doesn't do a sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, don't speak ill about it. So if a person doesn't grow their beard, whatever reason they may have, or ta'wilat, it's not an issue for us. But don't say that, what is this medieval practice? What is this barbaric practice? What is this Arab practice that existed before? Fahadha kufr. If a woman decides to wear a niqab and cover her face, etc., you don't agree with it, whatever ruling or fiqh that you may try to perceive to follow. Don't speak ill about it. This is all that we request Muslims to do. Show some unity that maybe I don't follow this inside my life, but this is established evidences that do exist. They're not made up evidence of the 21st century. These are classical ulama. These are not classical ulama. Before that, these are sahaba. These are companions who interpreted these texts in this manner and they stuck to them. So at least that we can do is show that reverence and say, I possibly don't agree with this, but this is established inside the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When kanu yusallun, that's why some ulama mentioned that even if a person is praying, but they show some karahiyah, they show some disliking towards the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam, it is a form of kufr. If not, it is kufr, as some ulama have gone to the view. Based on the verse of Surah Muhammad, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّمْ كَرِهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Because they dislike what Allah has sent down upon the Prophet. This verse inside Surah Muhammad. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So Allah has made their actions to become null and void. That's why read the passage inside the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nullifies actions of people. Well, who are those people? So a person should be wary about this. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentioned, فَقُطِيَ دَابِرُ قَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Those people are cut off. Those people who speak ill of the Prophet ﷺ, speak ill about Islam, they're cut off. There's some ulama mentioned who are abtar. Abtar carries the meaning of a saif al-qati', a sharp sword. A sword that strikes. So these people, abtar, these people, they are cut off. They are alienated. There's going to be no praise of these individuals. Inna shani'aka, this person was al-mubghid, the person who shows hatred towards the Prophet ﷺ, who shows hatred towards Islam. But at the same time, a person should be fair and should be just. That a person, hatred towards the people should not lead them to be unfair, to begin to mistreat people. As the Quran begins, it begins to warn us, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا. In the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, don't let the people, they prevent you from Masjid al-Haram. Don't you now rebel against them and show a form of any attacking towards these individuals. You should control them. Your hatred shouldn't go beyond the parameters. And then in the same surah, Allah mentions, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ. Don't let the hatred of people towards you. أَلَا عَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. So the hatred, شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ, the hatred that people may have towards you, or you have towards people, you may dislike people, but that shouldn't lead you to become showing hatred towards them in a way which is unjustified. And that's what made the Prophet ﷺ so great. That even his enemies, they spoke highly of him. They spoke highly of him, that this individual is a strange individual, no matter how much we mistreat him and how this individual returns back to us and how he behaves towards us. So this, in short, is something for us to begin to ponder and to reflect upon the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and the actions that the Prophet ﷺ, he had inside his life, and how he developed himself, and what we need to do inside our lives to develop ourselves, that to gain al-kawthar inside al-akhirah, to be given this river inside al-akhirah, or great hadhun kathir, or hadhun azim, this great goodness to be given inside al-akhirah. It's not small change. That some of us, that we think that this is going to be a small journey, that I do these small minuscule actions that I do, and now in return, I should be given the greatness of reward should be given to me. It's a path of struggling, of striving, of trying one's best. And even when a person falls short, that they know that they tried themselves. And when a person falls short, the Prophet will recognize us, will recognize his ummah, will call out to us, will make shafa'ah. We don't reject shafa'atul uzma. We don't reject the shafa'ah. We don't reject the intercession of the Prophet. He's going to be given the most grandest of intercession will be given to him. And that's, some will have mentioned that muta'addidat, many times he's going to be given intercession inside al-akhirah. But how will that intercession be given? Read the hadith. That he will go down in a state of praise, of remembering Allah. He will say that I'll be given supplications I've never been given before. And I'll go down in sujood. Then he said to me, irfa ra'sak, sal tu'ta, raise your head, ask and it will be given. So even the Prophet ﷺ isn't just going to be given his open intercession. That some of us, unfortunately, we believe, because I chant his name, because I live in his ummah, because I'm part of his ummah, by default I'm going to be given paradise. We need to remove this understanding. It may possibly be true that some few people, that their love may be so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive them and pardon them. But don't rest your life on that. Don't rest your iman on that, that I could be those few people that Allah decides to forgive without doing anything. Fahada nadir, that's rare. That's going to be very rare that Allah is going to just select some Muslims and just forgive them from the billions of Muslims that existed. Why? Why do we base our faith upon that? Why don't we base our faith upon trying to do something? And if we fall short, we know that the Prophet ﷺ will come and intercede for us. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant intercession, also forgive people, enter them into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to live in close proximity, the best of ability to adorn ourselves, not just externally, internally, with love. Ta'zeemu Rasul, love towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, within our own souls and our bodies and our hearts and our mind. Read about his life, his seerah, to develop that inside our lives and our character. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For you to emulate him. Whoever believes, and look how the ayah mentions that, Surah Al-Ahzab, whoever believes in Allah and the last day. So if you really believe in Allah on the last day, not this verbal format that you mentioned, you really believe in the last day, you're going to do what inside your life? You're going to try your best to follow the Prophet ﷺ.